Thank you for tuning in. I am your host, Patty Vasquez. I'm actually broadcasting from Los Angeles, so I feel like we're all over the place. We actually have State Senator Michael Connelly on the line, who is on his way back from Iowa because he has been working very hard on the Marco Rubio campaign. And for third place, it's a good turnout, wasn't it, Senator?
It was. We performed better than the pundits expected, and we're really excited. He's propelled into New Hampshire with a ton of momentum, and we're really excited tonight.
Yeah, the turnout was much better than they had expected, and they thought the increase in turnout would be because of Trump, but perhaps it was because of Trump to vote against him. Is that a possibility?
It is a possibility, and anecdotally, I heard that from one of my colleagues in the General Assembly, whose name will remain anonymous. But I was an hour and a half south of Des Moines in a town called Cheriton. There were 700 people in a distribution plant in this small town in Iowa. And it's the most amazing political experience I've ever been part of. And I thought the same thing, Patty. I texted some of my fellow Rubio team, and I said, boy, it's a big turnout. Are these Trump people? And it turned out, it was kind of a mix between Cruz and Rubio, which we were extremely pleased, obviously, as a result.
Well, you have been working for a while. I've been following your Facebook feed and your commitment to the Marco Rubio campaign. What is it about him that draws you to his candidacy?
I mean, it's as simple as his father was a bartender, his mother was a hotel maid. And when he talks about that immigrant story, I mean, I think of my grandmother arriving here at the age of 17. My great-grandparents were left and still in Ireland. And she made her way, and she prospered. She actually was a maid. And all of her children achieved college educated. And her grandchildren, have done pretty well for themselves. So it's that immigrant story, and it's a positive delivery of Republican principles. It's very Reagan-esque. He reminds me of Ronald Reagan and John F. Kennedy, really.
He did mention that, that parents want to leave a better life for their children than they had. And that was a core part of his speech. But he was saying that we're losing America. What is it exactly he means by what are we losing America to, would you say?
I would say we're losing, there's this entitlement, the government is going to solve all of our problems. That's not what we're founded on. And the notion that we need to grow the private sector to allow for the ability to pay for things like helping the disabled, helping our veterans, helping our seniors. So we've kind of gotten away from the private sector grows the economy to pay for the things that we all cherish, frankly. Today there seems to be this, how do I get something from the government? And, as Margaret Thatcher said about socialism, the only good thing about socialism is you run out of other people's money.
Well, one of the things I believe Bernie... Right. As far as giving people the freedom to access to capitalism, the free market, one of the things that Bernie Sanders mentioned in his speech is how much the campaign finance system is broken. And you have billionaires who are kind of running this and have more access to it than maybe, average citizens. What would you say to something like that, the campaign finance situation we have?
I'll say this. The thing I'll never forget about the Iowa caucus is I felt like I was, when I ran for state house, I had a headquarters, I had people coming and going, making calls, knocking on doors. In Iowa, it is grassroots. It is, what I experienced the last two weekends in Iowa were people that volunteered from Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin. So all the money Donald Trump's money really went nowhere in Iowa. You have to go and engage these citizens. The story in New Hampshire is, the story is, I don't know the candidate if I haven't met them twice. So
right. As
far as all these billionaires, I would beg to differ, because if that were the case, Donald Trump would have had 45% and we'd be nominating him. And that's certainly not what happened today, tonight in Iowa.
And one of the other things that Marco Rubio said in his speech was that the men and women that came over and were a part of the colonies, they base this country on the rule of God, and that comes before the government. When people hear that, they might get a little nervous, thinking that doesn't sound like a separation of church and state. Did you have any thoughts when he said that?
No, I mean he's driven by his faith. A lot of us are driven by our faith, but no, I don't see any problem. But thank God we trust on the dollar bill.
Right. It just sounded a little more like God's rule before the government rule. But before we let you go, because I know that you're heading home and we're on your speakerphone, which is good. I'm glad that your hand's free. But the last thing he mentioned was that his goal is to unify conservatives. What would you say has divided conservatives? Is it part of this campaign or just a trend?
Here's what seems to have happened is there's this gotcha politics out there, and it's most prevalent in my party, frankly, and everyone's tweaking and comparing vote records and whatnot. You can't tell me that Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, John Kasich, they're conservatives in my world. And what Marco's position is there's a swath of people who consider themselves conservatives. They may disagree on this issue or that issue, but he can bring them together to win a general election. He's from a battleground state, Florida, and I wish I had another 10 minutes to talk about the millennials. I have three millennials, and they are huge Marco Rubio supporters, not because of their old man, but because they've listened to his podcast. They talk amongst themselves the way they do with social media, Instagram, and the like. So Marco Rubio reaches across a whole different spectrum of the electorate, which, frankly, we need. I said to this group in Cheriton tonight, I said, I wish the entire electorate in America was Cheriton, Iowa. But it's not. We have to get independents and Democrats and moderates and liberals to join us to vote for our candidate for president. And that's what I think Marco's talking about.
Well, I do appreciate your passion, and I know that you have a lot of work to do. By the way, we are speaking to State Senator Michael Connolly of the 21st District. When do you head back to – are you heading back to Springfield now?
No, next week I head back. We're not in session this week.
Oh, you're not in session this week. Come on, you guys. You got to fix the state. There's a lot to do.
Hey, we don't control the calendar, only the majority party. The other guys do. But President Obama is coming to Springfield on February 10th.
Yeah, I heard he's going to address the general. Yeah, that's what I heard. I'm sorry, I'm going to miss that. Well, your Facebook friends are pulling for you to get if Rubio does win, they're pulling for you to get some sort of a cabinet position or at least ambassador to Ireland. So,
maybe ambassador to DuPage County or something like that.
Well, there you go. Well, I envy your passion because I don't have anyone I'm drawn to yet. But congratulations. I know that was a strong result tonight in Iowa. And be safe driving home, all right?
Thanks, Betty. I will.
All right. Excellent. Have a great night. Bye.
Thanks, Betty.
Thank you. That was State Senator Michael Connolly. I'd seen that he was on Steve Cochran's show, Craig, so I thought it would be fun to have him on. I know we have Brandon C. Price in the studio. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful, Patty. I'm feeling the burn. How are you?
Did you get a chance to hear his speech?
I did. Well, I heard the first probably 7 minutes of it on the way here, actually, on NPR.
Ah.
Sorry.
Well, you know what? we're gonna come back and talk about Hillary and Bernie when we come back, and then we'll talk to Pat Brady after 11:30. But I also want to invite our listeners to call in 312-981-7200. I know that the station at WGN, we've been very excited about Iowa, and I want to know, you're feeling the burn, but I'm wondering if anyone's feeling the burnout from the coverage, or if there are people who are really jazzed by this, because I've watched many of the speeches, actually all five of the speeches, Rubio, Cruz, and Hillary, and Bernie, and who else? I'm missing somebody. Oh, Trump, yeah.
Way to miss that one,
No,
Patty.
That's a good move.
Somebody.
Let's start forgetting him
Whoops.
Now. Let's start
doing
Whoops. Well, his was the most like sort of conversational. Like, everyone told me I shouldn't come here. No one likes me here, and here I am. It was so different than the other ones that I forgot that it was a speech. more after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studios West. I am in Los Angeles for the week, and I'm kind of missing. I wish I was in the studios because it sounds like it was an exciting day at WGN. We have Brandon C. Price riding sidecar, and he's in the studio there and joining me for all of our interviews. Right now on the line, we have Pat Brady, who is the founder of the Next Generation Public Strategies and the former chairman of the Illinois Republican Party. Hey, Pat, how's it going tonight?
Great. What a night, huh?
It's exciting. I did watch all five speeches. It's weird. There's a great tweet out that Marco Rubio makes third place look really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, he got up there first, claimed victory, if not a moral victory, and moving on to New Hampshire. But I'm here in Des Moines, and I caught the tail end of the Trump concession speech in the ballroom down here. So that was interesting to watch too.
What is your take on Trump? Because, he mentioned in his speech that when he started this campaign, they told him to stay away from Iowa. No one's going to vote for you. He is a bit of a braggart, let's put it that way. But he seemed, just kind of chill about being in second place. That was my takeaway from it.
Yeah, actually, probably momentum-wise and perception-wise, this was a pretty bad night for him. I got a much lower vote or percentage than I think he told everybody he was going to get. And he ran around the country saying, I lead in all the polls by a lot. And the bottom line is he lost tonight and almost got third place. So bad night for Team Trump. So we'll see what it does to the polls in New Hampshire after this kind of soaks in.
What was your take on Ted Cruz's speech tonight, his victory speech?
It was fine. I'm not a big Ted Cruz fan for the Republican Party because I think, he did win tonight. With a big turnout from evangelicals in a very conservative state, at least in the Republican primary. So it's fine, but I think for Republicans to win, we're going to have to pitch a bigger tent than Ted Cruz is going to offer.
Do you have – well, it sounds then is Marco Rubio your guy?
I think Marco Rubio matches up very well against Hillary Clinton. I think he's a candidate – for us, it's candidate of the future. He represents a lot of good things that we need to do to attract more voters. I mean, we've not done well at the presidential level for several cycles, so I think he'd be great. But I'm a Kasich delegate, so I think he'd be a great nominee for us as well.
Let's talk a little bit about the numbers beyond the three that we've been talking about, because Ted Cruz did win Iowa, Donald Trump came in second, and Marco Rubio was third. Where did Jeb Bush and Governor Kasich end up?
They're way towards the bottom, 1-2% of the vote. Governor Kasich pulled out of here a while ago, but Jeb Bush, spent a lot of time and a lot of money here. So I think a lot of these candidates we'll be reevaluating after New Hampshire. The Cruises, the Bushes, the Kasichs, the Christies. We'll see if they can go on beyond New Hampshire.
Right, because Mike Huckabee has already announced that he'll be suspending his campaign, correct?
Yeah, I'm waiting to see what Rand Paul might do.
What is your sense of about the turnout? Because this is record numbers, 50% increase from 2012, 180,000 voters turned out for this. Did you expect it to be that big?
Everybody expected it to be big, but they expected it would be big because of Trump. But the reality is the turnout was big because evangelicals turned out. So as much as people wanted to say that Trump had rewritten the rules in Iowa, meaning, just kind of fly in and fly out and do a television ad kind of campaign, the reality is the rules haven't changed. You've got to come here and campaign, and evangelicals are a very important part of what you need to get to win.
Now, I know that you're passionate about the Republican Party. Did you get a chance to watch Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders speeches?
I didn't watch the concession speech. I did go to a couple rallies when I was here, and so I did pay attention to that. I'm doing the show with Cochran, so we're covering, trying to cover both sides of it. But yeah, it was interesting. I think it's a bad night for Secretary Clinton. She had a 50-point lead 8 months ago here in Iowa, and she basically ran dead even with a guy who's identified as a socialist in a fairly conservative part of the country. So I think it was kind of a rough night for her.
Well, my my co-host in the studio, Brandon C. Price, hails from the South. He's originally from Alabama and also from Texas. And we've talked about this before, you know, how Bernie Sanders might fare against Hillary Clinton in the red states. And in Iowa, this is already too close to call. It's funny that there's even a concession state, concession speech, considering it's 0.10%. I think we're down to like just how many? Rob Martier has the numbers, I know, but it's so narrow. I can't imagine claiming victory in either one of them.
Yeah, she got out early and said they had won it, and I see on the board right here it's 0.2%. So, yeah, that's a political strategy, but I think there's some risk in that for the Clinton campaign, because this is kind of an anti-establishment year, and if you're kind of saying, "Hey, I won, I'm going to leave," when you maybe didn't win, and you're not really being respectful of the insurgent, that might backfire on you, but. We'll have to wait and see.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I've got, Patty, yeah, I've got the numbers right here in front of me from the Des Moines Register, which really is the gold standard as far as this is concerned. 96.61% reporting in the Democratic caucuses, 49.85% for Hillary Clinton, 49.56% for Bernie Sanders.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just
and more important than the percentages are the number of delegates. That's within 10, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, right now the delegate breakdown is 22 for Hillary and 21 for Bernie Sanders.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does this make people take Bernie more? Because anytime you hear from the Republican viewpoint, it's always, well, can they beat Hillary? Can they beat Hillary? Does this change that conversation, and do you have to take Bernie a little bit more serious, or is it not going to really matter until we get past New Hampshire?
I think it doesn't really matter until he gets beyond New Hampshire, but you're going to have the SEC primaries March 1st, and Secretary Clinton will do very well there. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to come up and get into the, you know, Illinois, Ohio, and those kind of places. And I don't think Bernie Sanders is going to do that well in Illinois. So, I mean, I still don't think it's plausible that he's going to win the nomination, but he certainly knocked the Clinton campaign back on their heels a little bit. We were on the ground for 2 days here, and the Clinton campaign was very confident.
Oh, interesting. We talked to State Senator Michael Connolly before the news, and he was mentioning how much millennials made a difference, he feels, in particular with Marco Rubio's campaign. And I think we're seeing a lot of that with Bernie Sanders. What was your sense of that in Iowa? Were you seeing? Because I saw at Hillary's at her victory speech, a lot of young voters in comparison with what I saw at Ted Cruz's rally.
You know, I was at a rally for Hillary last night, and it was mainly donors and you know, people 40 and 50, not a ton of young people. Insofar as Marco Rubio, I did hear from several people that were reporting in that there was a big uptick in college turnout, which I thought was going to go to Bernie, but a lot of it, I understand, was for Rubio. So that's exactly what the Republican Party needs if they want to succeed. We've alienated a lot of millennials over the last couple of years, so it's a good sign if we have a candidate that can attract those kind of folks.
And I think you touched on this a little bit, that Ted Cruz is not your candidate, and neither is Donald Trump. Someone like Marco Rubio is someone you're more drawn to. Marco Rubio, in his speech, mentioned how divided the conservative party is, and you are the former head of the Illinois GOP, and I actually was at a few events with you when things kind of went a little bit, seemed to go a little sideways, and the divisiveness within the Republican Party in Illinois. What do you think he has to do, or whoever the candidate is that does become possibly the next president of the United States, what can they do to unify not just conservatives, but the entire country, should they assume that office?
Well, you know, do what we did in the 80s when we were the party of big ideas and big economic solutions and strong national security. We did very well. But when you get away from it and start getting into issues of process, so we're just going to shut things down, kind of like Ted Cruz did, we don't do very well. And the party of ideas always wins. And if we can get back to that, and he can stay on that, then that divide within, you know, the conservatives, it's certainly less apparent. And Marco Rubio is a conservative, so the conservatives in the Republican Party should be happy to have him as a nominee.
Yeah, I that's one of the things that I kind of was latching on to, because it was the first time I really heard someone talk that, you know, that openly and strongly about the divided party. I'm sure that it's been a conversation, but now obviously it's, you know, every station is carrying these speeches. You know, the thing is that I was struck by how many of the candidates have talked about, you know, turning their backs on, you know, or wanting to overturn, whether it's gay marriage or, you know, defunding Planned Parenthood. That's what I was talking about, unifying the entire country, because there do seem to be things that that can be sort of leaving people behind or trying to, you know, exclude them from the process.
Yeah, and I think if Marco Rubio spends his time focusing on overturning gay marriage, then we're going to lose. Because okay. You lose millennials. 65% of the people now support it, including a growing group of evangelicals. We're going to lose. If we focus on those kinds of issues, we never do well. Focus on the things that Republicans have great ideas on. You know, reforming Obamacare, national security, foreign policy, economic growth. We stay on those kind of topics, we do very well.
Wonderful. Wonderful to talk to you tonight, Pat Brady. We've been talking.
Hey, have fun out there in L.A., Patty. We have fun with the WGN crew.
Well, tell them, yeah, go knock on everybody's door and tell them to just get up and stay up all night. I think you should pull an all-nighter with Cochran and Andrea and Kevin Powell. And, you know, just why rest? Is the only time you're going to be there for this caucus.
You know, I think Kevin and Andrea maybe, but I doubt I'm pulling the all-nighters with Cochran.
I don't blame you. Well, get
no,
some rest.
Stay up that late.
No, I'm guessing he's exhausted. What time are you on with Steve in the morning?
We teed up about 6. They go 6 to 10 now.
All right, well, then go to bed. Get some rest, will you?
Thanks.
All right, thank
you. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you. Coming up after this, we'll talk to a Democrat who was actually watching the coverage. We talked to two Republicans who were in Iowa. I feel bad because we'll be like, so, Representative Martwick, what did it look like from your couch? But I think that's fair, right? That's how the rest of us watched
fine.
It. Yeah, I think so. That's how I saw it. Brandon was listening to it on the radio.
I was purposely driving slow. I'm sorry. I was like 3 minutes late because I had to at least hear the end of what they were covering on Bernie.
And Brandon misremembered what station he was listening to. He heard it on WGN radio.
The only radio station anyone should ever listen to.
That
ever.
Is correct. Yes.
Correct. Wonderful response, Brandon. More with our Iowa caucus coverage after this on WGN 720. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from the Allstate Showcase Studios West. I'm in Los Angeles for the week and been following a lot of the coverage out of Iowa. It sounds like everyone was so excited at the station. And on the line with us, we have Representative Robert Martwick, we've been watching from home. You're our first guest who we've had on the line that got to watch it from the comfort of home and not from Iowa. What was your take on all the speeches tonight?
You know, I think Iowa caucuses are always one of those things where anyone who finishes at or near the top, they feel very excited. You know, they're gonna move on, and their campaign's gonna, you know, this is gonna springboard them. So, you know, the Iowa caucuses have sometimes picked presidents, but not as often as you'd think. So it's interesting. Everyone's all very excited. Obviously, Trump was. You know, a little his speech was a little different than what we've used to been seeing with him, but you know, Hillary was fired up and Bernie's fired up. It's interesting to see them so close like that. It's obviously a moral victory for Bernie, but I just don't think he rolls it into anything past this.
Well, it is very close, though. I thought it was a little bit weird considering now they're only, what, 2/10 of a point apart, 49.85 and 49.65 last we heard out of Des Moines from Robert Martwick. I mean, Rob Martier.
Right.
Your names are too close to each other.
Yeah,
is it if the numbers turn around at all, is it going to be a little bit weird that she came out and took a victory speech?
I don't.
It's a little awkward.
I really don't think it matters. You know, I was looking at the fundraising, which of course is a very interesting component of this. I was looking at it today, and of course, Bernie had a wonderful fourth quarter. He actually raised more money than everyone except for Hillary, which is amazing. Yeah, which is amazing because of the fact that he has, you know, he's not taking any PAC money, so he's, you know, he's raising all small donations, and but even so, he's so late to the fundraising that he has no cash on hand. He's burning right through it all, which means as he gets to the next states without any you know, again, I don't know what the campaign's been doing, but if they haven't been building the infrastructure for the campaigns in these upcoming states, he's really going to be starting from scratch, where Hillary has a pretty established network. And she has the most, she has the second most cash on hand of any of the candidates in the race. I believe she had about $40 million on hand. Jeb Bush has $60 million on hand. I don't know what he's going to do with all that money.
Whoa!
Unless he thinks that, he can dismiss this race, and you know, perhaps he'll perform better in New Hampshire and move on. But he's got $60 million of cash on hand.
Well, what was your impression of the speeches? I mean, I listened to all five of them. As you mentioned, Trump's is a little bit different than we're used to from him, but it's still a little different from everybody else's, where it's still self-aggrandizing. And me, you know, which is just so weird.
I know it is. And I think maybe when you look at the results, maybe that's what the Iowa voters finally came around to as they came into this. And again, you know, let's not forget that 4 years ago it was Rick Santorum who won this race. And you know, the Iowa Republicans, it's such an interesting state because it's about 50-50 breakdown. And, you know, of course, you have two U.S. senators, one who is extremely conservative, one who is very progressive. So you have a state that's pretty well divided down partisan lines. But it is, as Pat Brady mentioned, I was listening to him, and this is a very fundamentalist Christian right. And so those candidates tend to do really well. And obviously that's something that Cruz does very well at. So I don't know if he's able to parlay this or not. Rubio, at a very close third, is surprising because I certainly think he's got a bright future as a Republican.
Well, there was something that Pat Brady mentioned, was, and also Marco Rubio in his speech, is that conservatives are pretty divided right now, and they need to unify in order to have a strong front for this campaign. Is there a similar tone to the Democratic side? Is there any divisiveness? Is there contention among ideals? Because it doesn't seem that way to me. Universal health care, working for the middle class. Although Bernie Sanders does seem to talk a lot more about, well, it's time for, we've bailed out Wall Street, it's time for Wall Street to help the middle class.
Well,
but it,
there's no doubt, you know, obviously this is a campaign that in both sides is built on people's anger and fear as to what they see, what they perceive is going wrong with our country. And obviously they're taking two very different sides. So you look at the two candidates who are, you look at Ted Cruz at the top of the Republican ticket. I mean, here's a guy who his whole governmental career has been attacking the actual nature and structure of the government that we have. So it's kind of interesting that he wants to run it, right? All he's been doing is trying to tear it down. On the other hand, Bernie Sanders, again, probably in terms of Democrats, rather radical views, but again, they're speaking to those fears. And I think the message that comes out of this is that there are a lot of people who don't believe that Hillary is going to address that income inequality. I think on the Democratic side, you're looking at people and, you know, I hear people talk about this all the time. And that is, we believe that Bernie Sanders will tackle income inequality. We like Hillary, but we don't believe that she'll actually, you know, address that,
right,
that issue as well as Bernie will. And I, you know, and you can see she's trying to move to the left here to pick stuff up, even in her speech.
Yeah, she even said she was a progressive. I tried not to laugh.
Right.
Well, Representative, we have to run. We'll talk to you next week and catch up after the President Obama speaks to the General Assembly, if you don't mind. Love to hear what your thoughts
are. Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks, Patty. Have a great night.
Thank you. That's Representative Robert Martwick. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.